Anyways, the cars are particularly loud right now. There was, like, a motorcycle that just passed by that was, like...
I know, I heard it. I was like...
Is she gonna pick
one? Anna, ooh.
Anna, ooh.
Oh, that one? That one's pretty loud. Why is it...
It's the semis and the motorcycles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well. We'll figure that out later.
Deal with it.
Shall we begin?
Yeah.
Miriam?
Oh, that's actually... Okay.
Background noise, except for the ticking.
I don't think the ticking came up in the last episode. Did y'all hear it?
I never hear ticking. Oh, from the clock?
Yeah, from the clock.
No, I didn't hear it.
That was new last
time. I think I would have heard it, but I didn't hear it.
To me, it's really loud. Maybe it's if we're really quiet, you hear it.
Oh, and I think you just think about it too. But I don't think, like...
Oh, okay. That's just me going crazy.
Okay. Alright. Hi guys, welcome back to Sundays at Sarah's. We're glad to have you back. My name is Miriam.
My name's Sarah.
And my name's Marissa.
Okay, so we have some art news that we saw in an article recently via NPR.org. And the title was, At the Whitney Museum Biennial, 8 Artists Withdraw in Protest of Link to Tear Gas Sales. And this was written by Ned Labby, I believe, and this is pretty recent, so it was in July 21st. This one was when the article was published. So basically it was saying that during this biennial, which is yearly, do you guys know? When the Whitney biennial?
It's every other year.
Okay. So every other year, the Whitney Museum, which is one of the world's most famous museums in New York, holds a biennial, and it's all curated by the Whitney and their curators. And it's, like, a really big deal to get in. You have to be, like, a top artist. But since some news came about, a lot of artists are withdrawing their own works from the museum.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much what they're doing is that they're protesting the vice chair of the Whitney's board, Warren B. Landers, over his ownership of the military supply companies. And they sell tear gas, bullets, and the artists are saying, or they're alleging that this is being used against immigrants in the U.S., and especially in the southern border, and against unarmed civilians in protesters in Gaza. So I did look this up again, and actually that Warren B. Lander, he did resign.
Yeah,
so
shit.
I saw that, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people, like, okay, so one of the artists, Nicholas Galanin, he said that it was an easy decision to withdraw his work, along with other artists as well. He told the Whitney that the work that he pulled from the show was, like, a multimedia work, and a lot of the artists as well, their work is about social injustice. I was reading some of the work that some of the artists had withdrawn, and some of it was about, like, what's going on in Sudan, and, like, just a lot of different things, like, about, you know, making a comment on the government and the social injustice that people are going through. And so to put your work into the Whitney, who is turning it around and supporting it back again, like, it was, like, a big deal. So... I know there was, like, some controversy because it was, like, the artists were only pulling out their work, like, after they got in the biennial. So, it was, like...
So, even though they knew about it?
Yeah, it was kind of hard because it's, like, what if they didn't know until they got in or...
I don't really, like, to hold too much about that because... You can't know that. That's impossible to know that if these artists knew
whether he was doing that or not.
About whether he was selling that stuff or providing that stuff. And even if they did and took it out, it's still, like, a statement.
Yeah, and that's true. That's what a lot of other commenters were saying, that is a statement. And I think here I read that... one of the, Zachary Small made a comment. He's a senior writer for the Hyperallergic magazine, which we've, looked at before. He said, we might just end up with a biennial of empty rooms. And he said that would be an amazing statement about who was funding culture. And then another critic, Blake, how do you say his
name? Gopnik? I don't know.
And he is a contributor to the New York Times. He agrees. He says, the artist who withdrew from the biennial actually made the best work of the art in the biennial. And he said that this is an excellent work of political art, referring to the artist's decision to withdraw their work. And then he says, but look, we're talking about these issues, about raising awareness to the contradictions about the museum and pretty much what the museum is doing. And he says that that is what art is good at. And I agree with that. And we did talk about different types of, like, what is it? Art activism?
Yeah, in the last episode.
And that is kind of, like, another form of art activism. Like, when you're making a comment on what is going in museums and what people are seeing.
I just looked up the... the numbers, because I know this biennial has been the most diverse.
Right.
This year, there's 63 artists, and so 25 out of the 63 artists, which is, that is 45%, are women, which is an increase from the previous one. Let me see what else. A lot of them are a lot younger, which means that they weren't as established. And I think also that goes to say a little bit more about the biennial, too, is because that's where I felt a little conflicted for myself, whether finally there's representation going on, but then this happens, and what now they have to take away their work.
Right.
And that's where I'm conflicted, because, yes, stand up for what you believe in, but, like,
it is a great opportunity and such a high honor
to see
to
someone like them in such a high place. Like, that's inspiring, but then to take that, I don't know, I'm like conflicted, but I do respect their decisions, because I do see why people took away the artwork, and I do, like, I'm all for that, but I'm also all for leaving your work in and letting that one person who will be inspired by your work, seeing someone like them up on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm conflicted.
I'm sure the artists who withdrew their work, I'm sure that they're happy, like, with the decision that they made. And, like, maybe some artists did also want to withdraw their work, but they felt that this would be, like, really good on their resume, or just, like, good for their publicity and in general. And the Whitney representative even said, or the Whitney's president actually said, that the Whitney respects the opinions of all the artists in the exhibition, and that they stand by their right to freely express themselves. And while the Whitney is saddened, of course, they're going to comply with the artist. And obviously, like, now that we've talked about it, or we figured it out that that he resigned,
right,
like, maybe the Whitney kind of had a say in that. Like, you know, you kind of have to resign at this point.
Oh, yeah.
And so, at least they're, well, for us, or for people who see that kind of social injustice, we see that the Whitney and the people surrounding the Whitney, it looks like they are trying to make a change for
the better,
yeah.
I don't
know, man. People in power. People
it's so
money,
hard,
it's like,
yeah. It's so hard.
I always think about, I went to this conference in New Orleans this year, the AAM, the American Alliance of Museums, and I got to see museums from all over the nation, and I stuck out like a sore thumb because I was in an ocean of white old people, actually mostly men, and that's sadly what I picture whenever I think of, like, the Whitney or
anything, the Tate,
yeah,
the Guggenheim, like.
And they are trying to diversify their staff and everything, and I'm sure they're taking measures to do that. But the panel that I was speaking on was about why having a diverse staff is what makes It's what makes a place better.
Why is it better to not have, or to have more than one woman in the room? Why is it better to not have a group of just old white men all together?
And it has a lot to do with our presentation. And
they're like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, really, y'all?
Like, what?
And I feel like more people could have been in the room we were talking to, but it's like a bad taste in my mouth. Like, I'm so happy for the people that got into the show, right? But I'm thinking about the people that are making the decisions. Who really is making the decisions and why? For what purpose? Is it to just give a facade that they're being diverse? Or are they really doing their
part? What they can, yeah.
Yeah, their part in hiring and employing and really pushing people of different ethnicities up.
Right.
And I don't know.
Yeah, it is hard to say, like, what the motive is for them.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, if they are sincere. Because, like you said, there are people in high places.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, like, money is the motive.
Oh, and I want to clarify, I don't know anything about the Whitney and the people that work there. I'm just saying it in general.
Also, like, I just figured, like, I don't know why I didn't click that buy annual.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, when is it?
I was
it?
Like,
I don't know. Sorry. I, like, as soon as we said that, I was like, wait. Never mind.
So, now that the guy resigned, are the artists putting their work back in, or is there, like, any update on that?
I'm not sure. I only saw, like, a headline that said that he had resigned, or I think it was either something that I saw on my feed. A couple days after?
From what I've been reading, it doesn't say anything about them. I do know that, and I was shocked, but one of the artists, he's a Native American, and he did, like, a sound installation, I think. I forgot his name. But he retracted his work, but he said that they paid him $1,000 for his work to be there. And I'm thinking, that sounds like a little bit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
to me, that sounds
like
a very little bit for the Whitney to be paying that. I don't know. Maybe it was the amount of work that the guy had, or I don't know how to price that, but it sounded very
on the low spectrum.
Well, maybe it wasn't that, because I know, like, I don't know if the Whitney charges, like, a service fee to, like, handle the work,
mm-hmm.
or they gave him the service fee, because, like, at the bottom of the article it was talking about at the point when the article was written, none
uh-huh.
of the work had been retracted yet,
right.
So they were still trying to figure out, like, that kind of stuff, like the handling,
right.
And I did see, like the money in there, but I just, like, I didn't like, I didn't really,
yeah.
like, think it was, like,
and
that
this
right.
guy had to pay his own way to get there, too, and that's...
Oh,
that's,
you know what, I did think of... I think I saw a little something about that. Like,
yeah, and that's the first time I hear about that, because at the gallery I worked at, we figured it all out for them. The artist came in, like, a magic carpet that we provided for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's, like, you want the artist, like, you know,
yeah,
and it's like,
and
I
guess it's different when you have 63 artists, but
that's
also
true, yeah.
It's the Whitney,
right?
So I don't know, there it is.
Anyway, like, I'm sure you guys have huge donators, whatever.
Yeah. Y'all white men, what are they, worms?
Worms.
What is it, white old rich men?
Yeah.
Pardon.
How shall we transition?
So they took the space.
They're taking the space back,
they're
if you will.
They're taking charge of the space.
Right. It's important to have a space. Or is it?
To call your own.
Oh my god. Guys, the topic today is studio spaces.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I do have, like, let's see. I do have some questions for you guys. Do you have a studio space currently?
My bedroom.
Same, my bedroom.
Yeah.
It's like
a
carpet.
And then, do you have a designated area where you make art?
On the coffee table in my bedroom.
On the floor against the wall.
And then, let's see. Do you think having a studio space is helpful? Where and why not?
I think if I had one, it would be helpful. Because it's like, it's kind of like that whole thing where, like, if you work from home, they say, like, it's better for you to change out of your PJs into, like, work clothes or, like, something that's going to make you feel more inclined to get up and do the work and stay motivated.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like our brain food before podcasting.
Yeah. And I feel like when I'm in my room, it's really easy for me to get... Because, like, my room is, like, my sanctuary. So it's, like, that's the only space where I can work, but I don't want to do work because I want to keep my room separate from my work. I want my room to be a place where I relax and I sleep or I watch a movie or I stretch. So, and then, like I said, like, if I'm working on drawings, like, how I do or how I did when I was in school, every time I was working from home, I'm working in my room, but then I would see the bed. And remember that video that you showed me where I was like, no, blanket, and then the blanket goes and he falls asleep? That's how I feel, because my bed, like, I'm, like, sitting on the floor, and there's, like, 3 feet of space between my bed where I'm sitting and the table I'm working on. So it's, like, so easy, like, roll over and fall asleep. Or just, like, put on Netflix while I'm drawing or put on something and then get distracted with that. And I think if I had a studio space, I'd be less inclined to do that because I'd be... One, when you have a studio space, usually you're paying for it, so you want to make the most out of the money you're spending. And then, two, like, if you're by yourself, like... I think sometimes also, like, I have distractions from, like, my family or, like, someone calling. And, like, I don't know, like, it feels more official. Like, when people are like, oh, what are you doing? It's like, I'm drawing. I'm working on stuff. But they're like, oh, well, like, when are you going to be done? Versus, like, oh, I'm going to be in the studio from this time to this time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
Well, I do think it's important. And it is helpful, kind of. It keeps it... It reminds me that I have not worked in it.
I mean, you have worked in a studio space.
Oh,
like,
yeah. But the one that I have here in my lovely abode, it's in my bedroom. But I don't even sleep in there anymore because I'm, like, over here trying to stay away from, like,
the guilt. Like, step away from the mess. I would sleep in Sammy's room. Like, if I had stuff all over my floor and my table, I'd be like, I can't look at this anymore. Like, I can't even lay in my bed. I have to... Hop in the... That was a loud one.
I'm, like, debating on getting rid of my... Like, selling my bed and really committing to turning this into my studio because I need a dark room. I need desks. I need...
Just, like a designated area.
Yeah, and I'm fine sleeping on the couch / everything else.
Floor. Rig.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we wrote down some pros and cons of having a studio space. So do you guys want to read a pro, read a con?
I think you should read the pros and cons since you're the only one who has a studio space.
Well, actually, I just, like, kind of got kicked out of the studio. It's kind of a mess right now. I actually don't really know what's going on with the studio space at the moment. So that's kind of stressful. Yeah, it's a little bit stressful. But we'll get there.
Would you like to speak on that a little bit?
I mean, okay, honestly, I really don't know what's going on. Like, I just received, like, a couple texts.
Two texts?
Yeah. So I got a text saying that I could move into a different room. But when I went to, like, go pick up my work or move stuff, the person who was in that room was still there. So, okay. I was like, okay, I'll just take my paintings. And then I went back again with a friend. And it looked like they were working on both rooms. Like, turning both rooms into a studio. So, it's kind of like, we don't know right now. Me and my studio mate don't know right now.
So, you just, like, moved everything back to your house?
Well, I left my stuff there. I moved my paintings because I didn't want them to get dirty, but I left my... the majority of my stuff is still there. And I'm sure if they need us to get stuff out, they'll, like, have someone text us or something. But right now, I just don't have one. Right now.
What the heck?
Yeah, it's, like, kind of stressful. But there's, like, a lot of other things that are stressing me out right now, so that's kind of, like, in the back of my head.
you were there for almost a year.
Yeah.
So you still have more experience than us, per se. Because, like, you have...
still talk about why we do or don't have one. Mm-hmm. So,
but you can speak to the pros and the cons.
Okay. So, I wrote, well, that it is a designated place for you to work, and you don't have to move your stuff around or clean up. And I think that was one of the biggest things for me. Just because, like, working with paint, it's just, like, it takes up a lot of room. Same with printmaking, same with, I don't know. I think drawing you could probably pick up a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
But definitely, like, printmaking, you have to, like, lay all your tools out and have all your materials. And to, like, clean everything up and put it back out again several times a day or once a day, twice a day. That's, like, kind of annoying. So definitely having... like a space where you could just leave stuff and then come back to it the next day and not have to put in more time just to set up. That was, like, really nice. And then also, for me at least, like, when you go to a studio, it kind of feels like you said, like, you have, like, a job, or you're taking it more seriously because you're going to a different place, which is designated for making work. And, like you said, you're like, oh, I'm in the studio, or, oh, like, you know, I'm working on something, and you're going to be there for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
So it's, like, a designated place and a designated time to work on things, and it feels like you're actually, like, going to work, like, going somewhere.
Yeah. And what about the cons?
Well... it costs money, you know. That was the first con. And, like, I guess you guys could say, like, maybe you don't have a studio space because you don't want to invest in it right now, you know, because it does cost, like, a lot of money depending on, like, where you're trying to have a studio.
Yeah. Or make a studio.
Right.
Yeah. Because it can be in your own home, but you just gotta...
invest.
Depending on the tools you need.
Yeah.
Because even a sewing machine, a good one...
I've been sewing... Michael got me a sewing machine for our anniversary.
Woo!
And I put the sewing machine on my coffee table, which sits roughly a foot off the ground. Like, the top of the table is, like, barely a foot off the ground.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a little bit more than a foot. So the sewing machine is on the little table. It takes up, like, half of the length of the table. And then I sit crisscross applesauce on the floor, and I put my knee on the foot pedal, and I just kind of, like, push my thigh down, kind of, like, stretch, and use that as, like, to power the machine when I'm sewing. And, I mean, I'm making do with it, but it's not the best. And, like,
so
my neck, like, my posture is so messed up. And, like...
yeah, I'm, like, leaning back
right
now. It's
just, yeah. No, like, just, like, because I'm, like, craning my neck trying to look at the thing. But then I'm also trying to keep my knee, like...
yeah.
In position in such a way where I can still get the pedal. And then, like, my speed, like, it's rough. It's a rough flip. I need a separate space. I would like to have a studio space.
Mm-hmm.
But another con, ma'am.
Another con? I mean, I think that's the biggest one. But it can also, like, depending on where you go, it can be pretty far from where you are. So the travel or, like, the gas that you use.
Far? Huh? Yours is far?
Mine is pretty far. Well, far from where I live. I'd say it's, like, about maybe, like, 25 minutes, which is not terrible, but it's definitely not, like, 5 minutes away. And sometimes, like, yeah, like, I wouldn't want to go because it's far.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I don't want to go because, like, I have to manage my time, or I would have to leave, like, early so I could have plenty of time to get ready for work, or depending on how my day was working. Yeah, it was really, like, about time management, I guess. And then also another one was that also depending on where you work, it can be lonely, or you can, like, not like your studio mate, like, you can not like the people you work with and just, like, feel uncomfortable, or you guys don't vibe.
Because I know, like, when I would go to the studio, like, for you to help me photograph my work or just to visit and talk, like, I would always ask, like, do you like the people who are in here? Like, or do you know them? And you would always tell me, like, I don't really see them. Like, some of them, like, your times would never really overlap. Right. And so, like, you never really had issues.
Yeah.
But did you prefer when someone was there?
It depends. I think it really depended on the day. Because some days, like, when I didn't really feel like working, there was somebody to talk to. And we could talk to, or we could talk about, like, our problems and stuff and be like, oh, I'm struggling with this work. Can you look at my work?
Oh, that's where it comes in.
Yeah, that like when people can actually look at your work, like not through a photo or something. Mm-hmm. And like you visiting me in the studio was like such a nice like time to have you like come in, and like we can actually work on several things, like not just like painting, and yeah. I could help people out. So I really did like that. And even just like talking or having like a chat was really nice. But sometimes like my studio neighbor like sometimes I didn't really like the music that they were playing, or I could hear like music between the walls. So that could be like annoying, or like if your studio neighbor is like trying to talk but you're trying to work, you know, like it just depends. Yeah. I think it's similar to class, like
yeah,
like sometimes you love it, sometimes you hate it. But most of the time I was alone, and it did get lonely at times, but mm-hmm. I think I do work a little bit better alone sometimes. But I guess, like I said, it depends.
Yeah.
But I also think that, like, one of my last pros was that having a space away from home, it is kind of like a sacred space for just, like, your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
thoughts. Yeah. T-H-O-T. Yes. Which is really nice. Because, like, you know, I really did feel like I could leave everything behind when I got into the space and started working and just focus on my mm-hmm. work, because that's what was there. And I didn't really have to think about anything else, like going to my job or anything, like with my family or my friends or like whatever's going on with me. It was nice to just, like, abandon those thoughts and just focus on whatever I'm working on.
Mm-hmm. Pues que suave.
kind of. I feel like Michael Scott, when he's like, I've never been part of an inside joke, would love to be a part of one day, but, like, never had a studio space, would love to experience that one day.
But, I mean, okay, but being in school, that was, like, a studio space.
Yeah.
And, like, a shared studio space.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think even when I would go to the studio not during class, that would feel really nice too.
I always liked being in the studio outside of class, right, versus in class. Like, I get really nervous, like, when people are like walking around and checking. I get really nervous when the professors are walking around and checking, and like, it's good that they would stop by and ask you, like, what are you doing this for, what is, how's it related to your idea, so that you have, like, I guess, practice explaining it, and you're also being pushed into considering why you're doing the things you're doing. But sometimes it was more nerve-wracking than helpful.
Right.
And then, like Sarah and I have talked about so many times, that some of our drawing studios were filled with so many rude and loud and disrespectful people, so that was terrible. But, like, I liked having that space when I would go at night, because then it's usually empty. There's a couple people. Too. Like, the people who care are the people who are there at night. Most of the time.
They were there just eating.
Except for in our drawing studio.
when I think of, like, my nice, quiet studio time, like, when I had printmaking, like, I feel like I was one of the only ones who would go on the weekend.
Yeah.
Especially, like, early.
That's why I loved lithography, because there were, like, two
there?
People,
yeah.
maybe, if
yeah.
I went, like, on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And that's always, like, closer to crits, but I would be alone, and I loved being alone in the studio, because I can play my music, mm-hmm. I could get in the zone, I could look at the work, pull it out. I don't know, like, I get really nervous around people. It makes
yeah.
me uncomfortable. It's the same way, like, I feel like I work better when there's less people around.
And I feel the same, too, like, but I also think, like, when, like, if I had a studio space, like, with you guys, that would be so
be
cute, and, like, but I also feel like we would motivate each other.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, like, I don't really, like, one of my studio, the studio mate that I saw, like, the most, like, we don't really talk, like, too often. Like, we did have class together, but, like, we're not, like, super close. So, like, to have somebody that, like, I do look forward to seeing a lot, or, like, a really close friend, and I think that would motivate me more to go, because I'm like, oh, at least I get to see my friend. Yeah. But, you know, maybe one day. I think about it.
We can do it.
I love looking at the empty warehouse. I don't even know if they're empty, but whenever I go, they seem quiet. The ones on Texas.
Oh.
Christian mm-hmm. and I have walked down there, and we always like, oh, that would be a good studio. And what are they using it for? Nothing.
Nothing. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I did have some questions that I wanted to ask you guys. And these questions were taken from Artwork Archive, which is a blog, I believe, by an artist. So these questions are for y'all. Do you need a better work-life balance?
Definitely.
Can you expand on that?
Okay. I think, well, like, right now I'm kind of, like, in a limbo period because I did just graduate.
Right.
And so... For every year that I was in college, I was working part-time at Target, and I would go to school, like, in the beginning, it was easy, because I could work more days, because the classes were less hard, and then as it went on, like, I worked less hours, because it was just too demanding with the studio, and then working, so I would close, like, Friday, Saturday, Sundays. I always worked weekends, 8-hour shifts, so I could pay my bills, but not really have enough money to save, and now that I'm out of school, I didn't... Like, you know how everyone's like, what is your plan now after college? Like, what's the next step?
And
like,
no plan.
You don't want to... And, like, one time my boss, who got fired from Target, before she was fired, she was like, oh, like, you're going to graduate soon. Like, what do you have planned? Like, what's next? Because you don't want to be stuck here and this isn't that. And I was like, this is your job. Like, this is what your career is. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm not sure. I didn't have some grand plan. And, like, another coworker of mine... And good for her. She was telling me about how, like, she was really excited because she talked to some advisor about how, like, she takes medicine courses and, like, biology and all of that. And she wants to work, like, with families. She wants to have a family. So she was talking about all these things to create, like, a game plan so that when she finishes her degree, she's already, like, in an internship program. And then by the time she has that program completed, she has, like, the... what is it called? Experience. And she can just jump into a position, which is going to make her 6 figures right away. And I don't have that. Like, I was like, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to get my degree. Hopefully I can start tattooing and then eventually go for teacher certification. So right now I'm still just working at Target and I have open availability. So now they're giving me like 37 to 38 hours a week, which is great because I need the money and I'm trying to save and I need to pay off my car. But my schedule is all over the place because when you work retail... Most of the time, you don't have the luxury of having a set schedule. Like, the only woman that I know who has a set schedule has been there for, like, 23 years. And they're not just going to give me, you know, what I want right now.
Right.
They're kind of working with me, and I'm trying to change my availability so I can kind of adjust it so it's more even. But right now, it's just, like... I'll close Mondays, I'll open Tuesday, Wednesdays, I'll be off on a Thursday, but then I close Friday, Saturday, Sunday, close Monday, and then it, like, repeats, and so, but no week is ever the same, because they might give me Sunday off, and then open Monday, close Tuesday, Wednesday, open Thursday, off Friday, so it's just, like, always changing, and so that's been really hard for me to balance, like, when can I go to the studio with my mentor to... keep practicing and learning about tattooing, and when am I going to be able to record with the girls, and when am I going to be able to see Michael, and when am I going to spend time with Sammy, you know, like, right now it's really, really tough, and hopefully, like, I don't have to do that for too much longer, and like I said, I think once I get a set schedule at work, like, if I'm only in the mornings for 5-hour shifts, Monday through Friday, then I can, you know, spend 12 to 6 at the tattoo shop, then I can spend 6 to whenever I go to bed, like on Mondays with you guys recording, and then the rest of the week with my boyfriend or with my sister or eating, you know, like,
right.
I just need to figure it out, but it's hard right now, and it's hard when you have a job that is quote-unquote not so serious, not your career, you know, it's...
Something not so serious and not a career takes up a lot of time.
Yeah. So, do I need a better work-life balance? Hell yes.
What about you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Check.
Yeah, my... I don't have a difference. I'm always working or stressing about work, and I hardly ever really get to enjoy time for what it is. Like, just having time with someone or spending time with people or even getting to see people and just enjoying them at that time without having to worry about anything outside. And I feel like that's a luxury. Like, mm-hmm. I've bitched about in previous episodes, like, I've been full-time, I've been working two jobs, and, yeah, I don't know. I wish I could have a work-life balance. Bam. I'm looking for the word.
Okay, so when you guys are working, I guess you kind of answered this, because you said you're always thinking about work, like, do you have trouble switching gears?
I think it's easy for me to, like, finish a shift and go home and be like, okay, time to relax. But it's hard for me to go home from a shift and be like, okay, time to do something creative. Time to work on a drawing. Because I'm so exhausted from the day because my shifts are so long. And not like I'm doing very serious work, but
it's the work.
The department that I do, it's, like, emotionally taxing. So then I'm just kind of, like, aggravated or annoyed by the end of the day. Or, like, if I close, like, by the time I wake up and, like, do my errands, I only have, like, a little bit of time to get ready before my closing shift. And then, you know, like, I'll get out at 12:30 or 1 or 2 and then go home, sleep, start the day over again. You know, like, it's just, it is hard for me to switch gears. And maybe I'm aware of the gears, but I just, like, don't. I'm like, oh, I deserve to relax, you know? Like, right. I should just relax and take the time. But I need to get, like, in that habit of, like, no, you still need to do the work. And you sleep. Like, and your sleeping is your relaxing. It's, like, important to take care of yourself and take time for yourself. But I think I'm just, like, doing that too often. Because I'm like, oh, it's my vacation. Like, I finished school. I deserve it. But I don't want to get too comfortable in that.
Right.
Yeah. I think the whole switching gears depends on the mental state I am, because if I'm in an agitated, anxious state, then I'm there. Like, that's where I'm at. But if I'm in a somewhat calm state or just enthusiastic enough, it's rare. But yeah. Feet motorcycle. But I don't know. It just depends on my mood. And when I'm in school, I'm always, like, being pulled left and right. But I do feel like I can switch gears because I've been doing this for the past 4 years, 5 years, that I'm able to do it. It's just that now that I have more responsibilities, it has become a lot harder. And things are pulling harder than before. And so right now it's very difficult for me to switch gears, if at all.
I feel that. Like, and I've definitely expressed to you guys that lately, or even, like, the past couple months, that I've had a really hard time focusing. Like, even when I do have the time to work and I say, you know what, this is the time to work, I will find, like, whatever, like, anything for it to be a distraction to me. Like, I'll suddenly be like, oh, you know what? I need to do laundry. Oh, you know what? I need to go grocery shopping, or I need to do this. Or I'll end up watching, like, a video or a movie for, like, an hour. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess it's too late to, like, do work. Like, and I'll find any distraction just to keep me from doing work. And I really don't know why, because I do enjoy, I mean, obviously we enjoy art. Like, we talk about it.
Right.
And, like, it is something that we want to do, but I don't know why it's just so hard for me to sit down and make work. Even when I do some, like, I'm like, okay, you know what, I'm gonna sit down and make work. Like, sometimes it's just so hard for me to, like, sketch something, or I don't like anything that comes out in my sketchbook, or I'm not working on anything, like, on, like, I mean, your work doesn't have to be, like, on nice paper, but I'm like, oh, well, I don't have nice paper right now, or I don't have this right now, so I'll just wait till I invest. But when do I do that? So that's definitely what's been going on with me, like, just actually getting the work done. And I don't know how to figure it out yet, guys. When I figure it out, I'll tell you guys. But I feel like it is definitely hard to switch gears. Especially because, like, I guess I'm not in school. So it's not, like... Well, it should be mandatory, but sometimes I don't feel like it's mandatory.
Do you see all those bugs? Mm-hmm. It's because of, like... Do you guys smell weed?
I smell like a skunk.
Yeah.
But it could also be weed.
Yeah, my dang neighbors. It's because it's not closed right. There's, like, pencils right there. I'm going to open it. You're okay. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Sorry. Whoa. I'm going to lift it. I'm going to take this out of the way.
Oh, there's a ruler?
Yeah, that was a ruler. I don't know why it's there.
Karate chop.
She
did. Sorry.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, that's a bunch of bugs.
Where were we?
Okay.
Will help a separate space?
Yeah, will a separate space help me be more creative?
Yes. I think so.
I want to say yes.
I disagree.
But I also want to say no. Yeah.
For me, I've mentioned this before. I don't need to be in a separate place. Like, I do like things that will take me mentally in a separate place. Like, busy work, so I can think of something in the back of my mind while I do this methodical thing, which is why I'm looking forward to, like, sewing more. But I don't think I need a whole completely separate place in order for my brain to be creative, because, like, we've mentioned it before, like, we're constantly doing art, talking about art. Like, I have had art jobs, go to art school, and do art outside. Like, I'm constantly doing art, and I lost my train of thought, but, what was I saying?
Separate space.
Yeah, a separate space doesn't mean creative.
Yeah, a separate space doesn't mean, like, a whole separate room or a whole separate place to be creative, because I already am.
Mm-hmm.
And it just needs a different form of outlet. Like, I need to do it differently. Maybe not so much intellectually, because I do have a lot of heavy concept work. I just need to do stuff methodically and get it done.
Yeah, that was actually another thing that I wanted to bring up, was that actually when I was, like, expressing kind of, like, my concern about, like, not making work. Because I haven't been to the studio since the unsurety of my studio. Yeah, so
yeah.
I was telling my friend, I feel really down. I don't feel productive. Like, when I'm not in the studio, I feel like I'm not making work. But that was also not true, because I still was doing the daily practice that we were doing. We're still working on this podcast. Me and Marissa are still planning out Mars and Vega. Look forward to that. And so he was saying to me, like, Miriam, you are still being creative. Like, you're still working on these projects. Like,
right.
Just because you're not expressing it through art doesn't mean that you're not working towards something. And you're
art.
Not, yeah, and you're,
yeah.
You're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how I felt like I was. And I was like, okay, that is very true. And I really had to take a step back and really look at all the things that I'm trying to put on my plate. Like, I'm trying to learn a new language. I'm trying to go to work. I'm trying to make, you know, I'm trying to make work, artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working on these projects as well. So I know, like, the progression, or I don't see, like, the end outlook. Like, we are still working on something. We are still being creative, even if it's not just sitting down and drawing.
That makes me think of something. I think it was Aida Alonso in her TED Talk. She spoke about, I think it was her, like, such a concentrated time of doing work in school. Like, how you're constantly pulling out work, constantly doing
right.
work. And then you graduate, and then you don't have that deadline anymore. You don't have that demand, and you don't have, like, that guilt
right.
in you. I think that's what you're saying.
I definitely had to like take a step back and because of the work that we did in school was so demanding
and a lot,
and we were constantly just out like spitting out work.
Mm-hmm.
Like now that my pace has slowed down, it definitely feels different and feels like I'm not doing enough because of how much work we were doing in school. But
it doesn't mean
that I'm not working.
Yeah, it's true.
Working in different ways.
So what type of space would help you guys be more creative and productive?
I think I just want a big table.
Yeah.
Like, if I had one long table and then, like, a filing cabinet for my work and then maybe, like, a cubby system for my tools, I would be so happy. I just need a table. I don't want to work on the floor of my room anymore. There's just, like, no space and there's, like, nowhere else for me to go right now. And there's also no time and, like, no funds for it at the moment. And I think also, like, once I start getting more involved with tattooing, that is a studio space.
Right.
And that will be its own thing for me. I don't know. Like, Michael and I, like, talk about, like, saving up, putting a down payment on a house, like, a really small house. And, like, my tia in California, she lives in, like, a small part, like, in San Diego called La Mesa. And her house is, like, I love it. It's, like, one rectangle, and you walk in, and there's, like, a little space with a little chimney for you to sit, and then it's, like, divided into, like four sections. So, like, the first section is, like, a regular size, then the next section is, like, divided between a small bedroom, which, like, fits a bed and a dresser, and then a kitchen table, like, a little dining area. Then the third section is the kitchen and the bathroom and, like a pantry, but, like, for the towels, like,
mm-hmm.
And then the last section is, like, laundry room and the big bedroom, which is still, like, a smaller bedroom.
Uh-huh. A linen closet.
A linen closet. And, but, like, really small and condensed. And I'm, like, that's my dream.
Mm-hmm.
If Michael and I had our little house together, we would have the one bedroom, and then that second bedroom was just really small. I would just make it a studio space and just put, like, very, very simple, the long table, my sewing machine on one side, all of the sewing materials on that end, and then all my drawing supplies on the other side, and maybe, like, storage for, like, my screens for printmaking, and that would be it. Like, I don't know, I just want, like, everything accessible in one spot, because I feel like right now in my room, like, everything's kind of all over the place, and I have to stuff things under my bed. I have things in the drawer of my coffee table. I have things in a filing cabinet on top of my bookcase. I have things in my closet. So it's, like, hard for me to keep track of where everything is, and then there's not the space for everything. And sometimes I like to be working on multiple things at once, but I also can't sleep in a dirty space.
Yeah.
And so, like, sometimes you don't want to put your work away. Like, you need to leave it out so you can come back to it. And I think, I guess, kind of like, Sarah's right, like, I don't need the space to be creative, but I just need the space to execute.
Yeah, that's
perfectly, yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly how I feel, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, what's up with the motorcycles? We should call it, somebody's at Sarah's feet motorcycles.
Feet.
Yeah. Well,
what type of space would help you be creative?
I think just a space where I can leave my work out. Because
here
I feel like it looks disgusting. But if it really looked like a studio or like a place of work, then I feel more comfortable with it. I think the only thing I would really need is like a table. Or like two tables, several tables, because I do need...
Oh, sorry. It's because, like, my sister is moving out, and I'm like, oh, my God, I could take her room. Turn it into studio space.
Oh, my God.
My mom.
She's getting rid of any tables because I want
them. Yeah, I know. I mean, like, yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
Well, I mean, she can't take anything with her.
No.
You're right. I'll send you guys pictures.
Please. But, yeah, because I do want a working darkroom, and if I'm sleeping, because my bathroom opens right into my bedroom, and it'd be very dangerous for me to be, like, sleeping with the chemicals.
Yeah.
Next to the chemicals. Yeah. I have done that before.
Yeah.
That's not right.
No, it hurt. Like, I feel like I'm barely, like, recuperating from my respiratory thing.
Right.
That I had.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, yeah, that's something else I need a mask. Right, the list grows. But, honestly, right now I just need a table to, like, work on. That's
right.
It. I've been using this little rinky-dink one for my sewing, which is right here. Disgusting.
I need a box. I want a little
I'll
box
show you guys
for my sewing machine.
It's my mom's. I'll show you. It's a good one.
Okay, let me ask y'all another question. Would making changes to my current home space help me more? Be more productive?
Yeah.
I mean, I could definitely live more minimally, and then my room would be less crowded, so I could put a desk in and, like, could organize the space better.
But I love your room.
Yeah, like, I feel like my room, it's just, like, what do I get rid of, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I collect a lot of things, and, like, I store. I'm not, like, a hoarder, but I... like, I just, like, I have my book station, I have my movie station, I have my cassette station, I have the vinyl station, I have the supply station, I have my dress, you know, like, everything has
a
very, yeah, my peacock chair, like, all my pictures, like, I don't know, like, I just, I don't think there's anything I can do, because I don't want to change my room,
right.
I don't want to, but that's also, like, that's just me being selfish, and that's where, like, you make a priority of, like, I value my room more than taking everything down and creating a space in there for me to work.
Yeah.
You know, it's, like, it's part of, like, a give and take. Like, if I really, really wanted that studio, like, if I wanted to make it more convenient for me to work, I have all the power and means to do so if I just got rid of my stuff. But I don't want to get rid of my stuff, so there's the problem. But I don't need the things. They're just things that make, that I love, that I don't want to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's just, like, where do I go?
Yeah.
I just need another space.
Like, by
I
now,
need it.
By now, if I had honestly invested into the studio space instead of buying plants and, like, making myself trying to feel a little more at home, I would have my studio
but
space.
But that's the thing, like, having a place where you feel comfortable and at home is so important.
Right.
And, like, my, like, your, like, it's like I said, like, the downtime is as important as the working time. And, like, if you don't have a place to call your own or, like, a little sanctuary for you to relax and rest in, like, that, it's so important for me to, like, my room is, like, I love my room. Like, I sleep there, I relax there, I listen to music, I, you know, I write in there. I do things that are equally important to my health and just, like, for me to continue living, that I do when I'm working, like, things that support me outside of it. So I don't want to sacrifice that also for a table.
I saw
Let's all rent a studio together.
I really want to do that, you guys. I think we
could
do
that.
Can
I live in it?
Yeah.
I mean, you could live in a two-bedroom apartment. And we could contribute, Miriam and I, $100 each towards, like, that extra bedroom, so, like, you wouldn't be spending more on rent. You'd live there, but then we'd have, like,
oh my god, you guys are mine.
Do you guys want to look into? I'm here another. We'll X this out.
Okay. Our last question right here is: am I financially prepared?
No.
I also wrote, I think it's a no from me, dog.
I think it's a no from all of
all
us.
Of
every
us.
Time we're like, I think we all, it makes me think of that Victoria
yeah,
dress.
Yeah.
I think
we
all
sing.
We all sing. You know that show on Nickelodeon, Victorious?
Victorious, right? Victorious.
Yeah.
I never saw it.
Well, it was
like
a high school show, like a performing
like
arts school.
Hannah Montana show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And there were like three main girl characters, and it was like Victoria Justice. Ariana Grande was on it. She played
Kat.
Yeah.
Which one?
And then the other girl, Jade, which she's like on Empire now. She's on like, Dynasty. She's part of Dynasty. She's a good actress. Like,
they were being interviewed one time, and, like, I don't know why, but this clip went viral. And, like, the interviewer is, like, asking them, like, oh, which of you guys do you think, like, sings the most? Or, like, it was just, like, a fun question like that. And then Jade, well, that's not her real name, but the character, she was like, oh, I think, like, Ariana's, like, she's, like, the one that sings the most of us, and blah, blah,
like,
and
then she's, like, the best singer.
Yeah,
she's
and
the
then Ariana's singer. Like, oh, well, Jade's also, like, really, really talented, and she sings so beautiful, and then, like, Victoria, she's like, I think we all sing, and, like, we, but
she's like, I think we all sing.
Oh, like,
yeah. Like, I don't know, it was just, like,
it's really funny.
And I think it happened in, like, a couple of different interviews where she's like, I think we all, I think we, so every time that we say that, it makes me think of the, I think we all,
I think we all are not financially prepared. all right, guys. Well, like, do you think, in overall, do you think a studio space is necessary?
That was the sound of a bug dying. The little thump.
Oh. Do, what was the question?
Ask it again.
Do you think a studio space is necessary?
For me, yes. Even if that meant, like, another room in my house, or, like, when I first started school, my mom's kitchen table was my studio space, and I, that was enough for me. But, you know, in order just to, like, not inconvenience my family, like, my mom didn't like it when I would leave my stuff out, we have to move things for dinner, like, it just, like, wasn't practical as the years went on. But, like, even just that, like, just something outside of my room, a space to go and work, I really, really need it.
Yeah, I agree. And studio space doesn't mean, like, a full, the warehouse kind of thing. It's, like,
maybe it even means going to Starbucks once a day, every day for an hour.
A studio space is different for everyone because we all have different needs and, expectations, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, and for me, a simple table will do. For some of us, a trip to Starbucks. For me, sometimes
a trip
to Starbucks is all I need.
Yeah, I agree.
Starbucks should sponsor us. We said it like 4 times already.
Starbucks,
five.
Or, yeah, your local coffee shop.
Your local.
Yeah.
Support local.
Yeah.
Is Savage Goods a local shop?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
What else is another local
Kinley's,
shop?
Kinley's.
Bohemian Rhapsody's. No.
it's called Jovany and Bronson.
Yeah.
Bohemian.
No, Christian and I was making up stupid names for that place.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Salt and Honey?
No offense to JVB's.
Salt and Honey is local.
Who's?
Salt and Honey, but they
can't really
ours.
Work there.
Yeah.
Oh, that place
across.
That we like. District?
Oh,
District
yeah.
Coffee?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I liked
it there.
Yeah,
Building 6?
Yes.
This one right here at the art space? I don't know what it's called.
Oh, I don't know what it's called, but I know what you're talking
about. It's at the art
space. Oh, yeah.
The first floor
coffee
of
shop?
The building. There's a coffee
on
shop
the
on the... like.
But, I mean,
well,
like,
it's right here, actually.
It's still a coffee shop?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a coffee shop.
All right, well, the last question was, do you personally plan on investing in a studio space in the future? Why or why not? And I think throughout this episode, we've been able to kind of figure out that that's what we'd like to do, and hopefully even together. I know all of us want it, and the dream would be to share a space.
Yeah.
Because I think we all, even if the work is really different, share similar experiences
and
we goals.
Know each other so
yes,
well.
And we know how to like interpret and critique and talk about the work with each other, and we're comfortable expressing those thoughts with each other.
Yeah.
So it would be really helpful and exciting.
Yay!
I always just want to end it like cut.
I know.
The end.
Bye.
All right, guys.
I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode.
Yeah.
We're going to start planning and making our little dream come true. And you guys should let us know. Do you have studio space suggestions? Where do you like to work out of? Are there other local shops that... because I know a lot of local businesses here, are like, they always want to show different art, like, from El Paso. And, like, they're very embracive of the art community. So is there, like, a place you recommend that is...
art friendly and they don't mind that you're drawing? Is there any apartments for cheaps? Are there any warehouses that you all know of that you could pass on some info to us? Mm-hmm. We would appreciate it. And we thank you guys for joining us. Thanks for listening in. We hope to have you on the next episode.
Follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, Sundays at Sarah's. You can email us, sundaysatsarahs@gmail.com. And
I think that's it.
That's it. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank
Bye. You. Bye.